It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 5:30, it'll be Never Read the Comments. Right now, though, I do think, Anthony, give me a thumbs up if we are good. Perhaps, maybe, Anthony, yes, no. Okay, we are good. In just a moment here, we are going to welcome in our newest Odyssey NFL insider, Patrick Peterson, host of the Odyssey Original Podcast, First in Pod. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. And with that, we welcome in the 2010s all-decade team member, Patrick Peterson. Pat P, what's up, dude? How are you?
What up, Craig? Happy to be on with you, man. What's happening?
I'm glad to have you. By the way, the fact that we have all of us around the country have to introduce you, and the last thing you're going to hear before we welcome you on all of our shows is Mayo game day be delicious. What a career you had to earn that, man. What, I just can't. Can you just sometimes look around as you get into this media space and be like, I cannot believe it has come to this.
Man, you know, Craig, I actually had to pinch myself maybe like yesterday when someone was introducing me and all of those, giving me all my accolades and, you know, all of those things. And I was like, wow, I really have accomplished a lot and, you know, pretty much, you know, set out, accomplished the goals that I set out for myself as an individual for my NFL career. So I'm very, very pleased where I ended up throughout my NFL career, Craig.
Yeah, as you should be. And again, thanks to the sponsors. We appreciate the sponsors. I will say, though, Pat, in some of our like YouTube comments and people on Twitter and all that kind of stuff, is the Commanders have struggled at corner this year. Your name has come up. So I have to ask, because otherwise the fan base will riot. Are you definitely 100% done as a player? Slash, if Adam Peters called you and was like, hey, dude, we need some help at corner, do you have any interest in playing? Or are you like, I don't need any more guards running at me on a GT power play?
You know, Craig, I do have aspirations of playing again. You know, so mentally I'm not completely shutting it down. But, you know, I haven't got that phone call yet, you know, so, you know, I'm still working out, still doing the things I need to do to make sure if that phone does ring to a contender that, that whenever I do show up, that I'm giving them the best that I got, you know what I mean? Cause at this stage of my career, I want to compete for a championship. So if Washington is in those conversations and they continue to need help, you know, with corner down the line, yeah, my phone line is open.
All right. I'm sure Adam Peters has your agent's number. Just now I've asked and now we go and, we'll see where they go. Obviously they are 2-1, this season. So far more towards the contender status than perhaps a lot of people thought going into the year. But Pat, let's talk about the defense that has struggled. Statistically, there's all kinds of stuff that says they're just really bad. The tape is not good. And I think for them, it probably starts up front. But speaking from a corner's perspective, that marriage of pass rush and coverage, like, how important was it for you during your career? Because, I mean, you had stretches where you were arguably the best corner in football. And for you, you could probably just lock down right. A side and you're like, go ahead, make my job difficult. It'll be a more interesting day at right. The office. But for most teams and team defense, that marriage between pass rush and coverage, like, is it possible to say where it starts, or is it really a chicken and egg thing where one has so much effect on the other and it's this vicious cycle if one of them is not playing well?
Man, honestly, it depends on what type of scheme that you're running, because if you go back and look at the early part of my career in Arizona, like, I didn't have no dominant pass rusher. Like, I had Calais Campbell. He was an interior, interior guy. He wasn't, you know, coming off the edge that's able to, you know, force the quarterback to step up. So I really never had a serious pass rusher to about year seven when we was able to acquire Chandler Jones. So for me, a lot of situations is different. And we was in a man-to-man scheme to where we didn't care what the guys did up front. Yeah, we know it started up there that those guys needed to stop the run. But for the most part, we didn't care what those guys did up front because we knew we was going to be man-to-man. We knew we didn't have any help over the top for the most part. We're just on an island 9 times out of 10. You know, so when I had those assignments, like, I really wasn't worried about, you know, what the guys up front was doing. If they got to the pass rusher, yeah, you know, so be it. But as I got older, you know, as, you know, the athletic ability of the, not the athletic ability, but speed started to dwindle a little bit. Now you're able to, you know, rely on the pass rusher because you're not able to cover as long. So that's why I said it depends on what scheme that you're in, or, you know, what whatever scheme that the defense is running, to be able to lean on a certain position group. Because, like, you know, in Seattle, you know, back in the Legion of Boom days, those guys, they, yeah, they was a Legion of Boom, but they leaned on their front four to apply pressure to force the quarterbacks to force turnovers. When I was in Arizona, it was all about the back end. It was all about man-to-man, zero coverage. We're going to apply the pressure and put the pressure on our back end to cover us up. So it just all depends on what type of scheme that the defense is running.
Yeah, it definitely feels like here in Washington, they are definitely trying to lean on that front, and it's not going great so far. But there was another part of that answer, Pat, that I think is interesting, because you talk about, hey, the one thing we did rely upon them is to stop the run. And I look at this matchup against Arizona and the way that Arizona, one, could just straight up run the heck out of the football, and two, all the play action and boot and waggle stuff they do with Kyler that is off of their ability to run it, because he's not necessarily a guy that at 5'9" is just going to sit in the pocket and pick you apart. But when he can get out and use his mobility, he's as deadly as any quarterback there is in the league. So how does that affect the back end if a play caller, in this case Arizona's Drew Petzing, has to become one-dimensional and they can't really run the football effectively?
So, in my opinion, that's what you want to kind of make Arizona be, is like a one-dimensional football team. And, yeah, they have been putting up some big numbers as far as the rushing attempts. But you want to kind of make them one-dimensional, whatever the case may be. So whatever they do well going into the game, if they run the ball well, if they pass the ball well, you want to take that out of the game. We want to try to make them beat us. I'm speaking as a defensive coordinator.
Right.
You want to try to make them beat us with their left hand. So if they run the ball well, yeah, we want to stack the box. And if we feel like Kyler Murray is not a capable quarterback that's willing enough to beat us with his arm, we're going to stack the box and force them to beat us with their left hand. If, yeah, we know, we understand Kyler Murray will make those, extra time, create extra time for those pass plays, but we're going to be able to live with that, because now we're going into practice understanding that we are, as a back end, we are going to have extra, we are going to have to cover guys extra on the back end. So now it's not going to be 4 seconds. We got to think more of a 6 to 8 second rule. So now we got to be in coverage a little bit longer. So now if that's their case, we can't allow backyard football to beat us. We're going to stop the run, and it can't allow backyard football to beat us, and see if they can beat us with their left hand. That's me as a defensive coordinator going into this ball game.
Always easier said than done, but that seems like it'll be Joe Witt's plan on Sunday. Patrick Peterson, our Odyssey Sports NFL insider, with us again. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. The other big storyline in the defensive secondary for Washington this weekend is hopefully the return of Emmanuel Forbes, the former first round pick, who obviously has had his ups and downs, to say the least, Pat. When you either yourself had any issues during your career with up and down play, or you had a teammate, especially a younger teammate, who had a tough time and maybe need to regain confidence, how do you try to go about that as a defensive back? And have you watched Emmanuel specifically? And if you have any notes on him, I'd be definitely curious what you think of him.
Yeah, I think Emmanuel is going to be a good player in this league. You know, it all comes down to just confidence and being able to have that experience. You know, that's what I believe it comes down to, because a lot of young guys who come into the league, yeah, they had a lot of experience in on the college level, but when they get into the league, these are grown men. So, and there's no holds bars about your performance as far as what's being discussed upstairs, in the meeting rooms, in the locker room, you know, in the showers, or whatever the case may be. So it's a whole different perspective that these guys are coming in. But for me, when I went through those stretches of games, or had a moment throughout the season, all you have to do is just rely on the ability that the God-given ability that got you there. You know what I mean? So you know the game. At some point, it may be something that may be distracting you off the field. Something may be holding you back, or you may not feel happy with something elsewhere. you got to come to a realization that, you know, this is my livelihood. So whatever's going on outside of this locker room, it don't matter because I have to put my best foot forward, you know, each and every day when I step into this building in order to get out the fulfillment of what I want out of my career. You know, and that's been the thing I've seen, you know, throughout my 13 years and out throughout the year, throughout my 13-year career, that guys don't understand how to separate the two lives because there are two lives. Yeah, we are NFL players, but that when we leave that building, we're a normal human being. So we got to be able to understand how to juggle both of the lives that we're into right now. So I believe that's the biggest thing of, you know, younger guys that's coming into the league right now. They're having trouble on understanding how to handle both bubbles. There's a real life bubble and then there's an NFL bubble. You know what I mean? When you get both of those bubbles into one, they don't correlate, especially if you don't have one or the other under control.
No, that makes sense. And I think the older I get covering this league and doing the job that I do, like the more I appreciate how young these guys are when they get into the league. And it's a lot to handle. And that's why, you know, organizations are spending millions of dollars at this point in support for players in a way that they never did in the past, which is great. And obviously Washington's building up that infrastructure. I got two more questions for you, Pat. I definitely want to let you talk about your fellow LSU Tiger and Jaden Daniels before we go. But one more defensive backs question for you that I've always kind of had a theory, and now I get to ask one of the best to do it in the last 25 years of the league. So I'm going to ask you this. How dependent is that position on coaching and scheme? So I think about Emmanuel as a guy who played so much man-to-man and you know, single high type of coverages in college and really excelled at that. And now is being asked to play different techniques, a lot more cover two, and you know, has had time struggles adjusting to that in the league. So how dependent is the cornerback position specifically on coaching at the NFL level?
I won't necessarily say it's very dependent on the National Football League. But guys, like you just said, guys who's coming out of the college level, there's guys who was man-to-man guys like myself. There are guys who are like Richard Sherman, who played with more vision, so who understand more spacing in defensive coverages versus a guy like me. I'm playing with my back towards the quarterback. I'm literally following the receiver around the yard. Wherever he goes, I'm going. So when you get into the NFL, there's multiple schemes. There's, you know, cover twos, a cover three scheme, cover four schemes, there's man-to-man schemes, there's fire zone schemes. So therefore, you have to be able to adapt to whatever, you know, whatever the player who you're drafting, what they do well. So, like for me, when I came into the game, like my eyes was like really, really bad because I was used to just having my eyes on a specific guy. So then when I was asked to play cover three or cover four, I wasn't as comfortable as that because now my eyes are wandering because I'm so used to watching one guy.
Right.
So that's what defensive coordinators going to have to do, you know, a good job of when they're scouting these guys out of college. You know, what scheme are they coming from? Are they going to be able to fit in our scheme? Because I believe that's another thing. That's why you don't see a lot of guys that last as well in the league as well, because, you know, you might have a guy coming from a zone concept and he's getting drafted to a man-to-man scheme. That don't correlate. So therefore, you know, there's a slight chance that this guy's going to be successful. So I just think, you know, they just have to do a better job of making sure that guys who they really, really want can really meet their standards of, you know, what they're looking for out of their scheme.
Yeah, and I also think of guys like Nnamdi Asamoah, who were incredible in one scheme, signed free agent-wise with another team, and then they're out of the league a couple years later. And it's like, yeah, well, if he was good there and not good there, it's that you know, that change in scheme. And that's kind of the guy or one of the guys I was thinking about with that theory. So that's definitely great insight to, mm-hmm. to hear and kind of how that plays out. All right. Last but not least, your fellow LSU Tiger, Jaden Daniels, just had one of the greatest performances we've seen in a long time by a rookie in mm-hmm. the league period. One of the best primetime performances we've seen by a quarterback. What have you seen from Jaden through three games?
Man, past the three games, man, when he was back at LSU, you know, the last two seasons, you know, I always felt that he was going to be a guy whenever he had his opportunity, he was going to be, you know, special because you saw the growth year after year and the confidence grow year after year. And now to see, you know, what it has become, I'm not surprised at all. You know, that game he had last week against the Cincinnati Bengals was just remarkable on all facets of the game, far as managing the game, far as clutch moments in the game, far as impact player in the game. Like, he answered all of those questions, you know, in that one ball game, and he's been answering a lot of questions throughout the first 3 weeks of this season. So it's remarkable to see a fellow, you know, LSU Tiger shine in the NFL and continue to make LSU proud, because, you know, that's one of the positions that we always been lacking, was the quarterback position. So him and Joe Burrow are doing a great job of representing the LSU Tigers at that position for sure.
Yeah, everyone is just hurting for you. You guys, a DBU, wide receiver U. Oh, no, they have quarterbacks now. Oh, God. Cry for LSU. Pat, this was awesome, dude. I really appreciate the time very much. I mean, I hope you get that shot to go compete for a ring. It'd be a hell of a cherry on top for what was an incredible career. But for as long as you're on our team here at Odyssey, we'd love to have you back on the show sooner rather than later. Appreciate the time, man.
All right, Craig. Thanks for having me. I hope to talk to you guys soon.
Absolutely. That's Patrick Peterson, everybody, our Odyssey NFL insider and host of the Odyssey Original Podcast. First in Pod, Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. When we get back, never read the comments.